We've been reporting this week on a new PDK Gallup survey on testing in schools that finds almost two-thirds of respondents think there is too much emphasis on standardized testing, compared with just 7% who think there's too little. So what's going on? Why such a backlash against testing? Josh Starr is the CEO of Phi Delta Kappa International, which sponsored the Gallup poll. He's also the former superintendent of schools in Montgomery County, Maryland, and Stamford, Connecticut. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, Jeremy.
Well, great to be here. What stuck out to you in these numbers?
Well, clearly, parents these days feel there's too much emphasis on testing. It's clear that they want to see schools focus on teacher quality. They want to see schools focus on curriculum. You know, who's teaching my kid and what are they teaching? Although there are some differences between different demographic groups, and I think it's really important to understand that. But I think the age of over-relying on standardized tests is starting to wane.
Well, tell us about the demographic information. It is interesting. And one of the things is that among blacks and Latinos, the amount of people who think that testing is not the way to go or that there's too much testing is lower than it is among whites.
Yeah, I mean, the data show clearly, and I encourage people to go to our website to really look at the data. Blacks and Hispanics, particularly blacks, tend to place more value on the results of standardized tests. They prefer it for comparisons to other districts within neighboring districts within their state or whatever it may be. So I think there's some serious considerations that policymakers and leaders have to make when they're looking at the makeup of their community and the role that tests should play going forward in national and local education policy.
Do you have any sense of why that is, why there's that demographic difference?
You know, clearly, there's been an achievement gap in this country for a long, long time. And African-Americans and Latinos want to know that their kids are being held to the same standard as white kids. And the tests will tell you that. You know, since No Child Left Behind was passed 15 years ago, the test scores have shown what we've always known but have not been able to prove in the same way. There are significant differences in achievement between different groups of kids, and there's differences in funding and resourcing. The test scores show that, and I would imagine that folks who are advocating for more resources, better funding, et cetera, want to continue to have those scores present and available to be able to continue to make their case.
And yet so many people in this survey just think we're doing way too much testing, too much focus
That's
on
right.
teaching to the test. Why is that? There are going to be some people who hear this conversation and think that the reason is because it's gotten so political. Things like the Common Core, they're hearing messages from politicians about how bad the tests are. But is it about that or is it about personal experience?
So I think it's a combination of a couple of things. The tests themselves, many of them are not so bad. Frankly, a lot of them have gotten better. But there's a combination of a couple of factors. One, that there is just too much testing. You know, kids have to take too many tests too often. But the other is the policies associated with it. So people really don't want to see teachers evaluated by standardized tests. I was talking to my own kids about that last night, my middle schoolers, and they said, yeah, well, why should they be? Because if a kid, you know, blows off class, well, why should the teacher be accountable for that? But at the policy level, we've really started to use test scores in some very inappropriate ways that don't match up with science. Anybody who's designed a test, as well as the psychometricians and test companies themselves, will tell you that the tests aren't being used for the purpose that they were designed. And I think people are starting to feel that and realize that and want to see a change.
So what does that mean for the Common Core, which has been adopted by more than 40 states now, this set of standards?
So I think folks have convoluted the Common Core standards, which are simply a set of standards, with the testing and the policy regime of the last few years. The Common Core state standards don't say anything about how often kids should be tested. The Common Core state standards don't say anything about how those scores should be used for teacher evaluations or designations of school improvement or anything else. They simply are a set of standards that say what kids should know and be able to do. And in fact, our polling data shows that parents want to see higher standards. But they also, our data also show that folks are not that supportive of the Common Core. So I think what's happened is the testing and the overemphasis on testing and the linking of policies that don't work and are, in fact, hurting schools has been linked to the Common Core, but they are, in fact, two separate and distinct things.
That's Josh Starr, the CEO of Phi Delta Kappa International, which sponsored the Gallup survey. And he's also the former superintendent of schools in Montgomery County, Maryland, and Stamford, Connecticut. Josh, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So what are the implications of these changing attitudes? We're joined now by Andy Smerick. He's a partner at Bellwether Education Partners and a member of the Maryland State Board of Education. He's also the former Deputy Commissioner of Education in New Jersey. Andy, where would we be without standardized testing in school?
We would be much further behind when it comes to the progress we've made had it not been for testing. We have identified the achievement gap. We've been able to implement interventions to help students, especially low-performing students. And we've given taxpayers and policymakers more information than they've ever had before on the effectiveness of our schools. So testing certainly has virtues.
Do you think that testing is a good way, though, to evaluate teachers, individual teachers, to base their pay, to base their employment on how well their students are doing on these tests?
It can help. It certainly should never be the only metric that is used. So in the past 5, 6, 7 years, the method that's been that most states have used is called multiple measures. You use observations of teachers. You use different measures of student progress. And one of those measures could be how much progress from the beginning of the year to the end of the year did a teacher's students make. That can help inform whether or not the educator is doing a great job in making sure their students are learning what they need to learn. It's by no means the definitive or the only measure that we should use, but it can be helpful.
But the critics would say that teacher, in trying to improve how well students do on the test, is just going to focus on the test, is going to teach to the test and not focus on some other things that they could be teaching their students that might be more important.
Well, that's right. And this is one of the most important critiques that antagonists of tests use. And I think it's true. It has a lot of validity. That is, if testing is used in the wrong ways, it can distort what happens in the classroom. If we use test results as the only indicator in a teacher's evaluation, it's going to totally change what a teacher does. But that does not mean that we should totally get rid of tests. We need to make sure that they are in their proper place and that they are one of many ways that we assess if a school is doing its job, if a classroom is learning enough, if an educator is effective. So what I always like to say is we should concede that testing may have gone too far, but that doesn't mean that we should overcorrect and totally go back on all the progress we've made over 30, 35, 40 years on getting information from tests.
Do you think that's a possibility right now that even one state will decide we're not going to do tests anymore?
Well, it will be difficult if for no other reason than if they want Title I money, the billions and billions of dollars from the federal government. It's certainly required underneath of the current version of the major federal law, the No Child Left Behind Act, that they have to do reading and math tests, at least in some grades. So effectively, a state would have to say, we want no federal money if they simultaneously decide that they don't want to do any kinds of tests. And I think most states are of the mind that we need to be moderate in our use of assessments, but we don't need to totally get rid of all of them. I haven't seen any state go in that direction yet.
And you don't expect Congress to come in and, with this backlash against the test, decide to not tie Title I money to the taking of standardized tests?
Well, it's been interesting. Maybe call it 9 months ago, 12 months ago, there was some thought that Congress could totally end the use of testing as a requirement of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And largely, it's been because there have been a whole lot of civil rights organizations, groups that are deeply concerned about the achievement gap, and other types of organizations that have said, yes, let's make sure that we don't overuse tests. But if we get rid of tests, make sure you realize that that means that we're going to have less information about the performance of our most disadvantaged kids, that we're not going to have information on how all of our districts are doing compared to one another. So there is absolutely a cost to getting rid of assessments and the results they give us.
That's Andy Smerick of Bellwether Education Partners. He's a member of the Maryland State Board of Education and author of the book, The Urban School System of the Future. Andy, thank you.
Thanks for having me.